For those of you not too familiar with erythrina, and you may not be if you're from various parts of the continental U.S., they're usually large, showy trees that are often used in landscapes. They're very attractive. There's some on the way down to the mall if you're crossing the stream. There's a couple of trees there which astounded me because they have leaves, and you'll see soon why I was astounded. I went out to go and get pictures of trees to show you for this presentation, and well, we have this invasive wasp that I'm going to speak about that's reduced our trees to this kind of mess or killed them, right? What you see here are huge multiple galls that have been produced on what would otherwise be healthy leaf material and petiole material. Those leaves and petioles have been turned into a mass of galls by this Ulophid wasp, Quadrasticus erythrinae, which was first described from infestations like that in Singapore in 2005, evidently arrived there from somewhere in Africa. I'll get into that more now. Anyway, this is why I can't get pictures of decent looking erythrina tree in Hawaii, at least. This is how they look now, most of them, except for a couple that are somewhat resistant. They get cut down because the galls are so severe that they basically kill the trees and they start to fall on people and so on. This animal was first noticed attacking erythrina trees in Mauritius, which is off the west coast of Madagascar in the Indian Ocean. And then it moved very rapidly from there, right across Indian Ocean islands. It arrived in Southeast Asia, it's in Taiwan, it's in Japan, China, Thailand, India, all over the place. Eventually it arrived in Hawaii. As I said, it was described from Singapore by workers who found it there and did the description in 2005. By 2005 it was in Hawaii. Within about 3 months it had spread throughout the Hawaiian Islands, attacking all kinds of ornamental trees we have there. Erythrina is actually an agricultural issue as well. It was used extensively as windbreak trees. We had a vertical erythrina that was planted extensively to provide windbreak. And we have endemic erythrina as well in Hawaii that are being attacked by this animal. And then, of course, it proceeded to go to Florida. Why not? It's already half the way across the world. Why not just keep going? And there it was. Within a couple of years, this thing spread from, we believe, somewhere in Africa, went all the way across to Florida. And as you could see from that picture I showed, it destroys big established trees. It can beat the hell out of them. In Hawaii, it's a big consideration. In a lot of other places where it's invaded and attacked ornamental trees, it's not that much of an issue, perhaps. Like in Florida, for example, I know it attacked ornamental erythrina there, and well, it's perhaps not as much of a concern as it is for us and a few other places. But that said, erythrina is a Gondwanan genus. It has an African distribution. It also is distributed throughout South America and into Central America, where I think there are more species in South and Central America than in Africa. Quadrasticus occurs in Africa. It's not known to occur in South or Central America at all on trees. There's no gall-forming quadrasticus in South or Central America as far as we can tell. Anyway, getting back to the Hawaii situation, why our concern, it attacks these indigenous erythrina trees, Erythrina sandwichensis, pretty severely. There are a couple of places where they're not doing too badly, but it attacks them quite severely. It takes out ornamental trees, which is a great cost to landscapers, and it's taken out windbreak trees, which is quite an issue, actually, to agriculture. So there are substantial costs, and it's a threat to an endemic species, and we don't need more of that in Hawaii. We have more threats to endemic species there than most places in the world do. The endemic Erythrina sandwichensis is considered to be a keystone species in Hawaiian dry forests, which are quite a threatened system. So there's a big concern to do something about this, to seek control. What options do we have? Well, there is chemical control. Imidacloprid can be injected into the trees. It's expensive, though. It's not sustainable if you're going to try and protect endemic willy-willy trees, the endemic erythrina, out in forest systems. It's just too expensive to do that. It does work if you have a big ornamental in a hotel complex that you want to protect. You can, by injecting a whole lot of imidacloprid, save the tree. There's physical control. You can cut the trees down, which everyone's doing. There's my little joke, the fallow period, because it's taking a long time to get biological control out. So we might end up with a fallow period. People have been banking seeds of the endemic species, so that might work out. We might just do away with all erythrina in Hawaii and replant. But hopefully not. Hopefully biocontrol... Sorry, I'm supposed to point to this thing, aren't I? Look at that, yeah. Okay. And we've been working with the Hawaii Department of Agriculture to find potential biological control agents and to hopefully get these released eventually. What I'm going to speak about today more though is origins of the gore wasp and a little bit about biological control. There was a talk on that earlier in the week by Juliana Yalimar. We're intrigued by where this animal came from. We knew that there were gall-forming quadrasticus in Africa. I'm from there. I remember seeing these things when I was growing up. but never a problematic issue, right? That they were just there. We're intrigued by this thing that it spread throughout the world pretty much. What is it? Was there more than one species? Is it all just one species that's moved throughout the world? Or are there different genotypes perhaps within a species? Where did it come from? Which of course is interesting if, in terms of finding natural enemies. If you can locate the source of the invasion, then you can go there and biological control theory would suggest that that's the best place to seek natural enemies. And it's intriguing as to how it spread so quickly. How did it do that? And another concern is perhaps there are a whole bunch of other species in this genus that are going to spread equally rapidly and perhaps attack erythrina trees elsewhere, South America perhaps. What did we do? Well, we went off to Africa in various groups because Africa is the place of known where quadrasticus are known to occur as gaulers. You do get, there are quadrasticus that occur in the Caribbean, but they're parasitoids of Cocolionidae. And a whole bunch of us went off to Africa and conducted these surveys pretty much, well, as much as we could across the range of erythrina in sub-Saharan Africa. We collected samples as we went along. We had people from the Hawaii Department of Ag going and collecting samples. We had collaborators in Kenya, and a bunch of us from the University of Hawaii went as well. And we'd collect samples. We'd rear things out in the field and contain them in ethanol, and we'd send samples back to the Hawaii Department of Agriculture to rear out potential biocontrol agents. A big objective that we were addressing in our work, though, was to try and do a systematic analysis of these wasps using DNA sequence data to try and construct a reconstructive phylogeography and try and locate the source population. Where did they come from? Okay, that was the plan. It took a bit longer than anticipated. We still, as you'll see, don't have a definitive answer. Anyway, these are places we went to. University of Hawaii, we sent people off to West Africa. We had a researcher from Benin working with us who was eager to go off there. A bunch of us went into South Africa, Mozambique, Madagascar being a good place to look. We thought, seeing as it's close to Mauritius. The Department of Ag went into Tanzania, and people at Isipe in Kenya sent us samples. And you can see down there the first, well, putatively, the first quadrasticus erythrina invasion down there off on Mauritius. Sorry. How did we choose these places? Well, the Hawaii Department of Agriculture decided to go to the place with highest erythrina diversity, which is Tanzania. we also looked into places where we knew that there were Phytophagus quadrasticus species. We knew that they occur in South Africa. We knew that they occurred in West Africa. There were other places that seemed like likely sources. Madagascar seems like an obvious place. If they went from there to Mauritius, it would be fairly parsimonious explanation as to how they got out there. And two groups of us went there, University and Department of Ag, looked all over. And then, of course, you could consider, if you work on gall insects much, you know, at least in Cicidomyids, that you get the highest diversity of these things in warm temperate areas. So going into South Africa was a good option. There's a good diversity of erythrina down there. And it's an area very rich in gall species, at least Cicidomyids, perhaps not Hymenopterans. And that's just to show you how we sampled in South Africa, for example. This was our group that went and did this. We went to as many places as we could along the eastern coast. We went inland up into the what we call high felt areas up towards the north. And as we went along, we'd sample whatever erythrina we could find, botanic gardens, wherever we could find them, we'd grab samples. And we found all kinds of galls out there. And actually, I'm going to need to use this thing now. But Oh, it's horrible. If you look in illustration A, you'll see that there's a gall that occurs on the midrib of that leaf. Okay, something that we were seeing in the Hawaii samples. If you look at B, you'll find that there's little globular galls that are formed on those leaves, which are kind of different to what we were seeing. C shows little conical-shaped ones, which are very similar to the Hawaii ones. And D shows these little towers that were produced on that Erythrina species. So we found a remarkable diversity of these things. None of them obviously exactly the same as what we were seeing in Hawaii, though. And none of the groups that were out there looking for these found anything that was distinctively the same thing. But we were starting to see a large diversity, which was interesting because when we started out our work in South Africa, we went to the National Collection of Insects and explained our plan to them, and they went, oh, there's one species of gall wasp out there, maybe one or two. You might find one or two parasitoids. So we thought this was kind of easy. We start finding this kind of diversity of gall morphology, right? And that's an indication that there's some diversity. And we'll talk more about that later. These are just some illustrations of where we're collecting. This is Botanical Garden. And here we found interesting things like one tree heavily infested with galls, one next to it with no galls, for example, which still remains a bit of a mystery. We sampled around places that could have acted as places where the wasps may have escaped, like packing areas near harbors. This is at Durban Harbor, and you can see the big ship's containers in the background there, and Russ Messing sampling galls from a tree. You can envisage gall insects or little bits of plant material getting from those trees into containers very easily and then being shipped off to Mauritius or wherever. I put this picture up to remind me to mention that we didn't find anything in Madagascar. This is a really cool picture of the stunning baobab trees in Madagascar. We didn't find any gall insects in Madagascar, although we surveyed three species of Erythrina over there. No gall insects, which is also a bit enigmatic. What we did do, though, is we surveyed as many populations as possible, sent the insects back, as I said, and eventually Dan Rubinoff's lab sequenced a whole bunch of wasps. I believe we've done 179 now, including a bunch that the Hawaii Department of Agriculture gave us recently from Tanzania that they thought might be the source population. And these things were sequenced, two genes were sequenced, cytochrome oxidase 1 and EF1 alpha. What the hell's that? Elongation factor 1 alpha. I think this is all witchcraft myself, so I've got to read this stuff on the screen. Anyhow, the idea here was to reconstruct the phylogeny of these things and see if you can match where the invasive species come from. And as Dan informs us, their systematics is informative. Even if you can only find the closest relatives, you should be able to pinpoint closer and closer what the origin was, and that every sample is helpful. So as many samples as we could get across that range, the more robust the phylogeography should be, and the more likely we'd be to find the origin. Now, this is remarkably complex. And you remember I said that our National Collection of Insects said that there was only one gall species. Well, hell, this kind of indicates, I think, that there are at least eight. Okay, there's. I'm going to blow up a section of this later on to show you the part that we're interested in with the invasive. But there's the invasive species up there, I guess we could call it. And then biogeographically, it's quite complex. There are bits of that phylogeny that are species from East Africa. There's some from South Africa, stuck right in the middle of that. There's more from South Africa in the same clade. There's a whole big clade further down in yellow, or goldish yellow down there, that's from the east coast of South Africa. And then there's a West African clade way down there, very dissimilar to all the others. The invasive species is up here with the kind of East Africa, South Africa ones. But let's have a quick look at that in a little more detail. What this shows, and there was absolutely no, this is only the CO1 phylogeny, but if one looks at the EF1 phylogeny, it's exactly the same, if I'm not mistaken, that the invasive ones are invariable. They're all exactly the same. They're the same genotype throughout the distribution, and this includes Hawaii, Samoa, Guam, Japan, Singapore. So apparently they all come from one escape that got out somewhere and then just spread like we know it spread, like a pathogen, like Dan would say. Closest to that is a sample from central Tanzania, but that's not particularly close, right? This is a fragment of some 800 base pairs of DNA, and there are about, I forget how many, a large number of differences between the closest thing to the invasive and what Mohsen Ramadan from the Hawaii Department of Agriculture thought was the the source population, very different.
Remarkable.
And still enigmatic. We just don't know where they come from. If we look further down, it becomes, I think, even more complicated or confounding. There's samples there from South Africa, then again Tanzania, Kenya, and more from South Africa. Let's have a quick look at some of the host plants. The origin seems to be off Erythrina abyssinica, because that's, I guess, the things that are coming out the closest, and those are plants that are actually attacked by the invasive species in Hawaii. They pretty much don't attack most of the Hawaiian species. What's interesting is that there are other species that occur inland, for example, and we probably touched on edges of the distributions. These things should be examined more, which provide species which are somewhat close, but not particularly. There's a clade from South Africa that's as close to the invasive, I guess, as the nearest one, the Morogoro one. Yet they're from really quite different host plants right down in South Africa. Very small dwarf kind species. So sadly, this didn't yield a whole lot of clarity on exactly where the invasive came from, except that it's very likely Africa, right? There are none in South America, as far as we know. It's probably the southeast side, because these things, the invasive at least, is closer to the South or East African ones than to the West African ones. Although we have a big chunk in our sampling in Central Africa, in Zimbabwe, Botswana, and we should really go back and do that, I think. Someone has to do it. Okay. I've kind of said all this already, haven't I? There's one haplotype in the invasive, probably a single population that spread out and went all over the place. It seems now, I guess, that there may be at least 8 other related species that are undescribed. They're very similar, right? Apparently none of those have spread and become invasive. Some of them may have spread and not become invasive. That's certainly true. But it remains really unclear to us why that one species, why Quadrasticus erythrinae, was able to escape like that and go wild, just take over the world, basically. Right, the good news is that there are some potential biocontrol agents that are in quarantine with the Hawaii Department of Agriculture right now. There's one that they're about to release, hopefully, I believe, in early spring, which is a erythromid from Tanzania. It's a picture of it there. It's a neat organism that lays its eggs into the galls, and then evidently the larvae burrow around and act more like a predator than a parasitoid per se. So each of those larvae can consume a whole bunch of gall insect larvae, and hopefully it'll have a significant impact. And the department has a couple of other species that they're still doing the screening for and so on before doing the actual releases. We found lots and lots of other parasitoids. The samples we sent back from South Africa had loads of parasitoids in. We can always go back and get more if these ones fail, I guess. But there's light there at the end of that tunnel. So if people do get infestations in South America or other places, I guess we could one day supply them with biocontrol agents too. I'll go over too much of this again. The origin certainly appears to be Eastern Africa somewhere, maybe Tanzania. We don't know yet. We just can't say exactly where it comes from. The invader is a whole bunch different from anything else that we sampled, right? More than 10%, which is substantial in terms of the genetic difference between those things. I guess a different genus perhaps even could be considered. What remains interesting is how come this species that clearly isn't terribly widespread, how did it manage to escape and become so invasive? What facilitated that? It'll be interesting to look at the biological control of the invasive with what is now a new association. The biocontrol agent does not come from the original place of origin of the invasive, so it's going to be a new association that can be looked at and examined for efficacy. What's important to bring out here is that if we had a better knowledge of insect taxonomy, this would have probably been a whole lot easier. We would have been able to figure out where it came from and got right down to the job, just to support the taxonomists. Hopefully one day soon, when the biocontrol agents are out there, we can have our erythrina trees in Hawaii looking like that, with actual leaves and some galls, as opposed to just being stumps in the ground. I'm looking forward to seeing that happen soon. Okay. Thank you.